Thank you, Basildair. Smash that like button. Hit that like button. Smash that subscribe button. Leave me a review, please. I need the attention. Here today, I am with a very, very special friend. We go all the way back. We go all the way fucking back. I remember those daycare days, man, where you used to push me off the swing, man. That shit was... But anyways, who am I here with today?
Hi, I'm Dylan Andrew, class 28, fellow Hall & Oates
enthusiast. Aw, did you like the song I used to post our post with?
I did, that was beautiful.
What song did I use? Yeah, because you didn't fucking look at it. Oh, really? Oh, shit. Okay. Really? Hold on. I'm sorry. Okay. No, I was going to text you actually to tell you that I was here, but then you beat me to the punch. I'm sorry. No, I prefer to use my number anyways. But oh, shit. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a fucking minute. Oh, God. I don't think you guys could hear us on the radio. Oh, my God. The music was still playing. That costs money. That costs money. I just cost this college like 50 cents in royalties. But anyways, today I have someone who I would say I don't really know that well.
Yeah.
I don't think we're extremely close. So I think this was going to be an interesting episode for me because I was really just going to get the full scoop into the mind of Dylan. We can't barely hear him. Dylan, you gotta lock the fuck in.
I've been told I mumble.
I'm gonna turn on every mic now. Every single mic is on.
Hello?
Meaning that if you fart or anything, those mics behind you are going to pick it up and they're gonna hear it. No, I'm joking. But anyways,
Silent but deadly.
No, I wanted to say, the true reason why I brought you here, was because, I was told you have some insights. I was told that you're wise beyond your years. And I really would just want to know, Dylan, just straight up, what is wrong with men?
Well, I would say, I mean, I was reading bell hooks last night and
Ooh,
kind of reflecting.
Oh.
And I think I would say, you know, men are brought up in a culture in which, you know, a lot of times you're not really told or like told how to be held accountable for a lot of things.
Ooh, yeah.
I would say. So I think that's a bit of an issue. I think there's an underlying issue with toxic masculinity and an inability to, like, express,
mm-hmm.
which I think is dangerous. I think that leads to, like, one, a lack of individuality within men, you know? And also, I think it's just, like, it just lets things kind of get pent up. You don't really know how to communicate, mm-hmm. and then it kind of just typically results in, like, rash decisions that aren't, you know, great for anyone, I would say. Or just, like, having some need to say, like, you don't know how to express, like, when you feel like you're not doing enough. So you kind of just end up doing things in order to, like, achieve that feeling, but it's not, you know, the proper things. There's a lot of just unhealthy undertones
mm-hmm.
in masculinity currently.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, as a student athlete,
yes.
you can also, advocate that there is a huge culture as well, beyond, you know, being nonchalant and just like, you gay if you have emotions, you know what I mean? I think it is very interesting kind of being of the opposite gender. Hold on, let me make sure I'm not like shouting on this mic. I think it's very interesting being of the opposite gender and kind of interacting with men where I just kind of know already, like, I already know kind of what's going on in their head. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's never like a thing where it's like, oh my gosh, like, why don't they like me? I don't know. To me, it's just almost like, damn, like, you one of them now. You, like, mm-hmm. obviously there's an issue with your emotional integrity. And I think, I mean, I don't know if you can agree, but I think that it really just kind of boils down to what happened in childhood and kind of like how they have relationships with their mothers, fathers, if they have either, and just kind of how they were socialized as a child as well.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I think I've kind of always been the belief, I mean, unless you have like some like really bad relationship with your mom, like most sons adore their mothers, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the father kind of teaches you how to treat like other women outside of your mother. They kind of set that standard, I would say. Because like at the end of the day, like if you have a good relationship with your mother, like she's gonna be perfect no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't necessarily going to apply to every other woman in your life. But like if you have a father who sets like a standard, you know, for how to treat women, then that's like a model. But, you know, if you aren't getting that model, then it's harder, you know, it's harder just to have grown up seeing one thing, you know, and then go into life and put into practice something that you've never actually learned, you know? So I would definitely say it's much, like, a lot of it is childhood.
Yeah, I think it also, like, just to kind of get back or get deeper into our backgrounds. Like, I was raised by a single mother, me and my brother. And, you know, a lot of kids like us, you know, kind of, there's like, it's like a two-way street where you can either be like, you know, an amazing, amazing person, you know, like me or my brother, or you can, you know, kind of, in a way, sometimes, I think just psychology, either hold resentment toward your mother or toward your father, or just, you sort of have a disorganized attachment style. And so kind of our mother kind of had to play the role of both the man and the woman, you know, role models in our lives, which gives us a kind of interesting viewpoint of things like relationships and love, because we learned it from the viewpoint of a woman. Mm-hmm. So my brother has this thing where he's very, very stern on what relationships he stays in, whether they serve him or not. He does not have this pressure to stay in a relationship because, oh, she bad as hell or whatever. Like, if he's not being treated right, he will leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something our mother told us to do, taught us to do. And that's not something you really see men be very vocal about, you know, like protecting their peace and, you know, period. Exactly. Like, I think that's an interesting thing, too, of how are men who then have these father figures and these mother figures, what are they being taught by their parents, essentially, in terms of prioritizing their peace and their relationships, and how that can translate to how they interact with other people they want to form relationships with?
Yeah, I would say, definitely, like, the parental relationship, like, growing up, for me, like, watching how my parents interacted with each other kind of reflected a lot. Like, I remember, like, first date, like, a lot of it was, like, things I had seen my parents do for each other.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get, like, an idea of, like, what you're supposed to do there. Which I think is important. And, like, obviously not everyone gets, like, the same experience with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's not there, like, some type of, like, model, whether it's like friends, parents, etc., uncles, aunts, etc., can always be really helpful and beneficial. And then I think for like the protecting your peace thing, there's actually been something that's like has been super interesting to me, because I think there's definitely been an interesting like rise in like on social media of like men like promoting, you know, protecting your peace, self-improvement, self-betterment. And I think that for me, it's, I feel like I've seen, like, for every, you know, influencer who positively, like, promotes, like, men's mental health and, like, you know, exercising on a daily basis, reading on a daily basis, meditating on a daily basis, etc. Just in terms of, like, bettering yourself as, like, you should want to do just in the human being, just, like, in order to protect your health. And I think there's also, like, for every one of them, there's also, like, one who promotes, like, similar ideas, but almost in, like, a rageful reaction.
Yeah.
To I don't know if saying like a rageful reaction to women is correct necessarily, but their like anger definitely is taken out on women.
Yeah.
And I think that's dangerous just because like I don't think your drive for self-improvement should be because someone else didn't think you were enough.
Right.
But I think it should be because you want to better yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, looking at how men have been taught to want to improve themselves is, like, a very much a either reactionary way or a competitive way of, like, you weren't enough for other people, now you need to do these things to, like, make yourself more valuable. Whereas it should be, like, do you feel like you're capable of more? Okay, then go achieve that. And, like, find fulfillment for yourself, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, just kind of going off of what you said, there are a ton of straight men who hate women, and a lot of the things they do to get women, so like you said, like, you know, whether it's going to the gym and just, you know, having the ideal man bod, looks maxing, whatever it is, or just being like, yeah, like, I hate periods, bro. Sometimes it's really just so they can get the approval of other men. And that's why I say straight in quotations, because I definitely think that when you truly love women, you do what you can to please them in the way that they want, not the way that you want them to or the way that you expect them to accept you, which is not just a thing independent to men. I think it's just people in general will love to change things about themselves for others without really, and they can say however much they want, oh, it's for myself or it's for myself, but I think it's really important to just kind of understand why do we do the things we do, and who are we doing these things for. I do think another thing too is just I mean, how do you feel about the playing games? You know what I mean? This is how you really gonna get her, man. You wanna get her, text her, but then when she texts you back, leave her on red for 8 hours. That's how you gonna get her, man. And then when she texts you, you can only reply with an emoji, bro. Only an emoji. Or for girls, it'll be like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, if he doesn't like me, I'm just gonna fuck his homeboy or something. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like a bunch of fucking games, mind games, and just like, sometimes I'm just like, y'all, what are we doing? How do you feel?
I've always really hated the texting games. And like, people say like, you know, like, you gotta wait certain amount of time before you text, but I'm like, if you like someone, I like, text them back. And like, if they're waiting like 2 hours, 3 hours to like respond on like a very regular basis, and you're like texting back, like, maybe they just don't like you. Like, maybe you shouldn't put, you know, that much effort into this. And like, but like, don't like think like, I don't know, like, your assumption shouldn't be like, oh, like, she's just playing hard to get. Like,
That is true. Now, I feel like I bring this person up in every single one of my episodes, but I was done dirty by a light skin in high school.
He doesn't represent the rest of us.
I don't know. A little bit, it's not bad. I'm trying to make sure this fan, listen, this fan in the back, this big-ass computer is going to be the death of me. Because it's always like this little crackling sound in the background. But anyways, no, I was done dirty by this light skin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hard working man works 300 billion hours a week in high school, all this applying for colleges. You know, I try to make a lot of excuses. Maybe he's just busy. What the fuck was I thinking? No, but I wasn't the person to play the games. I was the person that was like, you know what? I don't care if you left me on red for 8 hours. I'm going to text him immediately. And then I didn't realize that my authentic interest in this person was being taken advantage of. So I have this kind of issue now where I sort of kind of expect the worst in people, especially if they're light skinned, because I don't know. And that's something I have to work on. That's something I will admit. I will not deny that. But no, yeah, you're right. It's not really entirely fair to always assume, someone is playing hard to get or someone is trying to play games. But if there's something I can attest to is that someone, we don't name drop on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Someone texted me trying to rekindle our friendship. Ooh. And I literally spent 17 hours deciding whether I should respond to them or not. Because I was just like, I don't know if I even want to hash this out. And at the end, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to talk to them. I don't owe them an explanation. But then I was like, no, leaving them on scene would just be extremely petty. So I literally just said, I was like, hey, don't really like how our last encounter went. Not going to really go for the meetup, but I hope you're doing well. Mm. And that's all I said. And that's it. Left it at that. No. So I think it really just comes down to how much energy are you willing to put in this relationship? And if you're not willing to put in energy, you just got to be up front and say it right then and there.
I agree. I think for me, it's always like you should like expect what you're willing to give. So like if you're someone who like likes to play games, you know, then like be okay with someone also playing games and like have fun playing that game. Like if you don't like to play games and someone's playing games with you, like I wouldn't recommend like trying to like, I don't know, it's just like it's just gonna be like a large investment of effort and like likely gonna end in like a painful manner.
Yeah.
So like I think you kind of just have to like, and like obviously like this is like a thing of just like experience and time, but like learning like what style of like dating, relationships, etc. like actually like makes sense for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but like once you get an idea of that, like I think it makes things a lot clearer.
I totally agree. I think that also just comes with, you know, just sort of kind of being alone for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you were like, you know, if someone's not reciprocating energy, you know, just wouldn't recommend, just don't bother, right? Yeah. But unfortunately, it's not that easy for people who have this very warped image of themselves, where they either think that they deserve this type of love, so they're like, you know, like, it's not going to get any better than this, might as well just stick it out, right? Mm-hmm. I'm strong. And then you have the people that are like, I can change him, I can change her, don't worry. And I'm just like, it's just our brain, there, it's a very, very powerful thing where it'll warp reality. Mm-hmm. And its imagination is just so powerful that no matter what's happening right in front of your eyes, you can get left on red for 11 hours and then and literally convince yourself in that moment, they're just working. And it's like, then you go on their Instagram story and you see they were like partying out with friends all day. And then it's like, ow! No, we're not even in a relationship anyway, so it doesn't matter, right? But then, you know, you have interactions with people. The imagination is a very, very powerful thing. So what I like to do is I just like to sit back and observe. Before I make any decisions, before I even go up to a person, before I even try to initiate anything, not that I ever initiate anything, but just anything, I observe. And I have found out some very, very insightful things. Like, this one guy I liked. I saw him, like, with a new different girl, like, every week. And I was just like, imagine if I had just gone off of our first cute little interaction, where I was like, let me follow him on Instagram, let me text him on Instagram, and all this stuff. And then I realized I would have been added to the roster. oh my God, I would have been added to the roster. But I'm so glad I just sat back and observed, because then I realized, oh, he's just trying to have fun, right? Yeah. Which is fair. I'm not trying to go through that though. I've already been through enough trauma. But yeah, no, I mean, I just want to ask you, do you see yourself doing that sometimes, or you just kind of sit back and observe, scope the scenery out?
Yeah, I would say, so like in high school, I was in 2 long-term relationships, and then like, kind of like coming out of those end of senior year, I like kind of sat back and realized like I hadn't really like taken a lot of time in high school to like learn more about myself. So I think I've definitely like grown appreciation for like just being alone at times, and like one, like observing, you know, others, but like also like observing yourself. And like I do firmly believe that like you need to know yourself, and like you need to love yourself in order to like know and love like another person truly. Because like if you don't know why like you react in certain ways to certain things, like you can't expect someone else to. Or like if you don't know how to treat yourself, then like how can someone else know how to treat you properly?
That's
you
true.
Know what I mean? So I think it's like it is important for everyone to take time, reflect. There's a bunch of different ways, like meditate, journal, draw, etc. I saw this really cool thing on Substack actually, where this person has like a calendar notebook, and they would like draw a picture for each day.
Oh.
And I thought that was like a really cool way of journaling.
Yeah.
Just like whatever, just like some form of reflection.
Exactly.
I think it's really important.
Yeah. But that's the one thing too, it's like when you have that degree of reflection and introspection and just emotional maturity, it gets really, really lonely. Mm. It really does. Because it's not that you assume the worst in people, even though, you know, it's not hard to do that sometimes, but it's also your discernment is so strong to the point where you can meet someone and in the first 30 seconds of your interaction, it's almost like you could tell, like, how this relationship is going to go, or where your place is in this relationship. So, for example, I'm sure you have certain friends where those friends are for hanging out, not really deep, you know, interactions, yada, yada, yada. And then you have that friend, that one, two, whatever, that those are your, like, you know, you're really tight with them, and those are the people that are going to stick beside you. So it's not about driving people away or, like, you know, totally isolating yourself, but it's really just about how can you control how this interaction is going to go based on your actions. So like for me, like I'm the type of person who if I see a guy I like or whatever, I'm not just going to automatically go up to them. I don't got an enemy and I don't got game, y'all. I ain't got shit. But no, like I think sometimes too I have this tendency to just like completely retreat from any relationship, then not just like any possible romantic relationship, friendships in general. I like to overthink a lot, which I think is an issue when it comes to always being in reflection, always trying to decide what can you do to improve yourself, what can you be doing better. Sometimes things are okay, but you're still like, oh my God, am I like fucking up right now? Like, am I doing something bad?
Yeah.
That's something I have to work on as well.
I mean, I think like, yeah, being alone with yourself kind of opens yourself up to all thoughts. which is like, but I think also like for me, like the process of like learning to be alone with yourself, which is a process that definitely takes a long time. But I think in the end, it's something that's super beneficial. But yeah, I think like there is like a happy balance where like obviously deep reflection is important and like trying to figure out how you can improve yourself is important, but like sometimes you also just need to like sit back and be kind of satisfied with where you are and, like, who you are. And, like, 1% a day, I think, is a nice goal, because 1% a day really is
not that much.
It's very little, but it is some sort of improvement. But, like, even if you don't do 1% on a day, like, that's okay, you know?
Yeah. People aren't perfect. That's the other thing, too. People are not perfect. But, you know, if people were perfect, I wouldn't have this podcast. And so we're going to keep talking about how people are not perfect. But now that we've talked about what's wrong with men and what's wrong with people in general, what would you say is wrong with women?
This feels like a loaded question.
It's not a trap.
Wrong with women. I would say, in my past experiences, not necessarily, like, really communicating what, like, type of relationship they're okay with actually having. In terms of, like, I express, like, I'm not looking for a relationship, like, and if, like, I just want to make sure, like, we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, them, like, okay, neither am I. But then, like,
yeah,
you know, it becomes very obvious very soon that, like, they are looking for something more. 'Cause my thing always is, like, if you want to get with a lot of people, that's fine. But just be very, like, I think you need to be upfront with people.
Yeah.
About what you're going to do. I was always just, like, be transparent about it. And, like, if you don't want to, like, all power to you as well. And, like, obviously, like, know your boundaries and express your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of my big one, I would say.
I mean, I can't argue. As someone who, listen, now he never said he didn't want a relationship, okay? He actually didn't say anything about a relationship. My mind had just automatically went there. No, well, I just, in my defense, we're going to get to that. No, but it's right. You're right. You know, my brother, love him, but, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say he was, you know, somewhat of a, well, he's calmed down now, but okay. He used to be Rolling Stone. He used to be involved. But he was like, man, but I will always tell him I'm not trying to be in no relationship, man. You can't be calling me a hoe if I'm honest. And I'm like, you know what? You got a point. But that's the thing. It's like, I remember I saw a text or like a TikTok or something. And I think it was like a text screenshot of someone who was like being broken up with. And the person that was breaking up with them was so, like, emotionally mature about it. Like, so honest. Like, it's an issue with me. Like, I really think you're an amazing person. You're going to find the person that, you know, you deserve. But I just really need to figure some stuff out. And someone in the comments was like, this would have made me want to be with them more. And I think that's another thing, too. When you have the integrity to be upfront about not wanting a relationship, that's enough a cue for someone to be like, but his communication skills are so good. Imagine if we were in a relationship and then they, and then again, you know what I mean? It's not your fault. It's not your fault. But like I said, the mind is a very, very powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it doesn't just happen, you know, to women. I'm sure some women have had, you know, their instances where they've dogged a man out too, you know, all the power to them. but no, yeah, it is true when it's like, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. Being emotionally mature and having communication, because sometimes that draws people back to you, because they realize that you are truthful. But another thing too, and I'm not gonna lie, I am not crazy. That light skin was flirting with me, and he was doing a lot of shit that I was like, this man definitely wants to be with me, and he keeps on saying he doesn't, but I know he does, because the tarot card says so. But anyways, but then one time he was like, but we just platonic though. And I was like, oh, okay. Now, thank God we haven't done it. We didn't do anything. So I was able to save my peace in that aspect. But some girls don't have that, luxury. Some girls were genuinely be called babe by guys, be taken care of by guys, be taken out on dates by guys, have sex with guys. And then it's really, really daunting when that person's like, by the way, if you're upfront about it, you're upfront about it. But a lot of men are not. So then they're like, by the way, I don't want a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, when do you expect that person to be like, oh, yeah, okay, let's just forget about everything we did then.
Yeah. I mean, I think, especially for dating, like, you shouldn't, like, I guess I have two thoughts on dating. One, like, taking someone out on a date shouldn't necessarily mean that you will start dating. But taking someone out on a date, like, that means you should be open to a relationship with the person.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't just take someone out on a date so that you can have sex with them.
That's fair.
But going out on a date doesn't, like, presume then that this will be your boyfriend or girlfriend.
That, yeah.
Because I think dating is supposed to be when you get to know each other and, like, actually learn, like, would we make sense for each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right. You're right. And I think that goes to, like, how social media and just society in general now, our age, and then I heard the guy issues in the 50-plus age range, too. But genuinely, what is the natural progression, would you say? Like, that someone should take when they want to be in a relationship. Like, I know some girls that have been in 3-month-long talking stages where I'm like...
No.
You know what I mean?
I mean, for me, there's kind of, like, two routes. I think the first one is, like, the friends route where, like, you guys have kind of been friends for a little while. And then it's just, like, I don't know, there's some spark of intimacy that occurs and... Mm-hmm. Obviously, you already know each other pretty well, so it's a pretty, like, seamless transition, typically. Or there's, like, the, like, just met this person, like, usually, like, you would ask someone out on a date because you find them attractive and you want to get them, know them more, I would say. I mean, I think it definitely varies, like, case to case. A 3-month talking stage is low-key pretty long. But, like, I think after, like, a month is, like, a pretty reasonable amount of time. Like, if you're going on, like, a consistent amount of dates within a month.
No, I want to distinguish this. I want to settle this and break it down.
Okay.
So it can forever and always be broke. Do talking stages necessarily have to be over the phone and text?
Versus, like, in person.
Versus cool. I don't want to say solely in person. I mean, you know, the day and age where we, you know, interact with each other. We have to have our phones on each other, right? We have to have phone numbers, stuff like that. But what I'm saying is solely on Instagram or solely on Snapchat or solely, like, I don't know. I just feel like there's something so disingenuous about, like, only, I don't say only, like, getting to know someone over text.
Yeah.
Let's just meet up then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I kind of hate texting for talking stages. Yeah, I think, I mean, like, if you're in, like, that situation and it kind of works for you, I guess, but, like, it's, one, I think it's just in general, it's kind of hard to actually read someone via text and, like, really get to know who they are. And two, it's just like, yeah, why wouldn't you want to spend time with the person in person if you have the opportunity? And, like, just have the conversation. Because just in-person conversation is so much more free-flowing mm-hmm. and comfortable. And, like, if the in-person conversation isn't comfortable, then, like, you shouldn't be in that talking stage.
Then you know to get the F out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I just, you know, I think about, the good old days when, kids were on their phones all the time and just, like, how back in, in the 1800s, they didn't text each other. Mm-hmm. They had to meet each other in person. Mm-hmm. And well, actually, I don't think a lot of women had the choice. I think it was just sort of like, you're going to get married by the time you turn 12 anyways. But 1990s, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you had your little block phone. That's about it. You call someone. Email them, maybe. But you still got to know someone in person.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, with our day and age, in our day and age, so many people are so antisocial and just cripplingly boring and, like, just, like, where is the personality? Where's the whimsy? Where is the awkwardness? Where is the, where is the fearlessness when it comes to being awkward or embarrassing or not being perfect, right? I think that's why so many people kind of hide behind textful talking stages. Because then in that way, someone can't see your imperfections versus when they interact with you in person for an extended amount of time. And in that instance, why are you even is that a waste of time? Like, do you want to be in a relationship with this person? What are you going to do when you're in a relationship with this person? Are you going to hold on to your insecurities for that long? Or are you just doing this for fun, this talking stage for fun?
Yeah. I think social media has definitely had net negative effects on humans. I would say for one, it has definitely like interfered with or hindered like our generation's ability to communicate in person and build like deep meaningful relationships in a lot of cases. And like even like a lot of relationships are kind of like built via social media or like, you know, like the standard of your relationship is like, how often do you post together? Like, are you commenting on their posts? Are you reposting their posts? Like, like maybe they're not that close. You know what I mean? But, like, I think something that was really nice coming to Dartmouth is, like, there are a lot of people, like, two of my best friends don't have Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I think in high school, like, it seemed kind of insane not to have Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I came here and I was, like, for the most part, I keep Instagram deleted now. I'll, like, re-download it every once in a while to, like, see if someone sent me something. Which is good because then I totally would not have been on this podcast. But like for the most part, like I'm very glad that I don't use Instagram that much anymore. Just because like it's so easy to, you know, like want to create the best version of yourself on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But like doing that on social media doesn't actually require you to have to put in, like, real effort in terms of, like, actual self-improvement. So you're not actually, like, changing who you are. You're just changing the portrayal of yourself.
You're, write like, down.
You're not actually changing, all, like, so then you're also not changing, like, your own view of yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, your self-esteem isn't improving. Your confidence isn't improving. But, like, you get some satisfaction of, like, well, at least they think this about me. But, like, you can't base your self-esteem off of others' reactions to you. Like, self-esteem has to be something that's organic, I think.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you should have the self-esteem first before getting the social media, not relying on the social media to build up your self-esteem or to build up your confidence. Like, there are times where, you know, my Instagram is solely for my nails for my podcast. No. I don't really, if I post my face, it's because I'm posting my nails. And even then, like, I remember when I first, for the first time, posted on my Instagram, I'm pretty sure it was just a bunch of, like, cakes I had decorated. Some of them weren't perfect. I look back on them and I'm like, I don't even post that. But that was me being my authentic self. I was like, you know what? If you don't like it, get the F off my page. And then I started posting nails. And my first nail set, I look at it and I'm like, But in that moment, I was like, you know what? I'm really going to take a chance. If someone is like, this is shite, then I'm going to be like, you know what? I'll get better. And you know what? Having Instagram as in using it kind of as my creative outlet has kind of, I think in my personal experience has helped me build my authenticity and influence other people to do the same. Solely because, like, and I'm not gonna act like I got 3 million followers or something, but because I have this kind of very curated aesthetic on my Instagram, I protect it and I don't really let the amount of likes I get on every post or the amount of followers I have or the amount of comments I get affect the fact that I just love to do nails and I just love to, you know, talk. And that was something though that I had before I got Instagram 3 years ago. Mm. I never had it in elementary school. Oh my God. Middle school or like the beginning of high school.
Yeah.
And even then, like, I would say my relationship with Instagram is pretty, pretty healthy only because I've just been able to just, you know, protect my peace and just block. I don't care. But I definitely think you have a point in terms of how people will. All I can think about right now is Streamer University and just like how social media is so, like, it's so, like, weird how so many people have such interesting relationships with others based on their image online. And it'll be like, you know what? Blazion J cheated on India with Soraya Lynn, Lala Lightskin. But when you also have those relationships too, those bonds that are created solely based on social media, it does turn into this very, very damaging relationship where then now you're like, you don't love me because you don't follow me back on Instagram. You should download it then and follow me back. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, like, what you said about, like, kind of, like, creating, like, your aesthetic and whatnot on Instagram is, like, I would say, like, the positive part of social media is that, like, it is, like, a unique opportunity for you to kind of, like, reflect your life in, like, a manner that, like, you kind of wish to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, if it's done in a way that actually, like, reflects, like, the life that you're leading and, like, you know, the things that you're interested in. So, like, for you, like, your nails, like, is, like, something that you're, like, genuinely passionate about. Then I think, like, it's really cool. And it's a cool way to, like, share with people. I think it's, like, kind of becomes an issue when, like, you know, you're, like, spending hours, like, thinking about a single post and, like, is this going to look good? Like, are people going to like this?
Yeah.
Like, do you like the picture? Okay, post the picture. You know what I mean? And, like, I think that was, like, a development for me. Because I know, like, early freshman year, like, all my posts were just, like, high school. Like, my posts were just, like, soccer pictures, track pictures. Cause I'm like, yeah, this is tough. Like, this is cool. But then at a certain point, I was like, I have, like, these pictures with my friends and, like, of nature and, like, family and stuff. They're like, I like these. Like, why would I not post, like, these pictures? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why does my Instagram just have to be, like, my soccer pictures?
That's true. Yeah.
So I think there's, like, there is, like, a nice opportunity for you to, like, create something that can, like, also be, like, a bit of, like, a memory vault for yourself as well. And that can be, like, a positive reflection on, like, previous, like, good times that you've had with people.
Yeah.
But it has to be something that, like, you're doing for yourself and not for other people.
Yeah. You're totally right. That's, like, the hardest thing, too. Like, trying to convince yourself that you're really just only doing it for yourself. Mm. When, you know, sometimes I do get butthurt when I get 20 less likes than the previous post. And I'm just like, wow. So 20 people didn't like this? Yeah. But then I remember I saw someone on TikTok. He was like, every single time I post, I stay on Instagram, on the app, for like 5 minutes after. Because sometimes when people post, they're like, and then they just completely turn off their phone, delete the app, whatever. He's like, no, this time we're going to post and we're going to stay on the app. And no matter what happens, we're going to be okay. And that's just like, when you just kind of think about, like, that's an app. Like,
yeah.
Holy shit. Like, it just, you start to like realize, like, dang, I really got some issues. So that's why, like, I went through a time where I completely, like, I got rid of TikTok. Oh, I got rid of TikTok, not because I had a choice, because I raged when it got banned and I deleted it. So then I was like, oh, now I'm like back in the caveman time. So I was on YouTube. But when I was on YouTube, I was watching video essays. I was expanding my mind. Mm-hmm. I was getting smarter. And I think that really just kind of changed the way I kind of interact with these apps now, where I'm just like, in a second, they could be gone. Instagram could be gone. Mm. I could lose all of my hard work, but I will be fine. Like, I will not die.
And at the end of the day, like, the hard work was the nails. Like, no one could take away the fact that you did the nails.
Yeah.
No one could take away the experiences. So, like, Instagram's just, like, a medium for you to show what you've done.
Right.
But, like, Instagram could go tomorrow and some new thing could pop up a day later. And it's not, like nothing's going to change in terms of, like, what you did. Mm-hmm. It's just going to change in terms of, like, how you show it to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. The importance should be what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not, like, who you're doing it for,
mm-hmm.
or how you're showing it to people necessarily.
Yeah.
You know?
I definitely think that's, like, and, like, just kind of taking it back to the relationship discussion, like, I always thought to myself, like, if I was in a relationship with someone, would I want other people to know? Mm. And I've always kind of, I think I have the decision that I've made is just, like, I don't care if people know or not. I mean, obviously, I don't want people coming up to me thinking that I'm not in a relationship. Like, you know, I'll just say I am. But do I need everyone to know? No, I think it'd be nicer if I kind of kept it in, like, a little thing. Like, it's just, like, me and this person.
Mm.
But some people genuinely are like, if people don't know, are we even in a relationship? And I think that's very interesting to, like, think about. Because at the end of the day, it's all people are all consumed by appearances the other, just taking it to the other side, if I saw an argument between two people where someone was like, you don't want other people to know about us because you're embarrassed about me, and then someone's like, no babe, like, no one needs to know, like, we could keep this between, like it'd be more special kind of if we kept it between us, then I'm gonna be like, yeah, well, you know, you just gotta have a balance.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, like, in relationships, it's always just kind of been, like, obviously, like, my close friends will find out
mm-hmm.
pretty early. But, like, most people, it's just, like, oh, like, are you talking to someone? And I'll be, like, oh, yeah, like, I have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't necessarily feel a need to be, like, this is my girlfriend. Look at my girlfriend. Here's my girlfriend. But, like, like, I think it's nice, like, supposed for, like, an anniversary or something. Like, if you have, like, a nice picture or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, don't, like, get it twisted. Like, don't think, like, that's, like, the, oh, like, I posted it for my anniversary. Like, we're good. Like, you know, like.
Right.
I think for me, something that I don't know. Maybe this might be on, like, a more, like, very much like a me thing. Or whatever. But, like, when people pass away, like, posting for that person and being like, I will miss you, or, like, et cetera. Like, for me, I was always, like, if someone in my life passed away, like, I was very, like, more reserved about, much more reserved about it. And, like, I definitely, like, considered in the past, like, oh, like, should I make a post? But then I was like, well, why am I making this post?
Yeah.
Like, do I, like, what does this do in terms of, like, me, like, honoring this person's death? Or, like, you know, like, reflecting on, like, our lives together. Like, does yeah. really, like, do anything? And so that, for me, was, like, am I posting because, like, I think it's important for me to do this? Or, like, am I posting because, like, I've seen all these other people do it, and so, like, mm-hmm. I feel compelled to do it as well? And I think that was an important realization for me in terms of, like, again, why are you posting, you know? Like, is it for you truly, or is it because you think you should do it because mm-hmm. everyone else is doing it?
Yeah.
But, like, if everyone else is jumping off the bridge, should you also jump off the bridge?
You yeah. know? No, I think posting for someone's, like, death is low-key, and I've never seen anyone do it, but I think if someone did do it, I'd low-key be like, oh, actually, oh, I have seen someone do it. Yeah. And in that instance, I literally was like, you know, my condolences. But I think it was genuinely because it's social media has now become an act of service where it's like, you know, I want other people to know how great this person is because they're so great to me. And I want to spread that to everyone, which is, you know, a very wholesome thing. I posted my mom for Mother's Day because I want everyone to know how bad she's a bad bitch. I want people to know that she's a bad bitch. And I wanted her to know that I thought she was a bad bitch, too.
Yeah.
So I added her. I was like, hey. but, yeah, it's also, you know, I was like, low-key, before I did it, I was like, oh, shit, I don't need to forget because everyone else is posting their mom. I want to make sure my mom is the best one. So, yeah, it's definitely, like, you have the subconscious. The subconscious is what you really want to do, right? The subconscious is almost always, I want people to know this because I want to get a reaction of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But your conscious is going to tell you the moral reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mother's Day, and I just love her so much. Or this person died, and they were so special to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is the subconscious necessarily bad? No. Because without social media, I think it was just going to happen. I mean, it's the things that humans do.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, you definitely have a point. That's how I feel about the BBLs, too, man. It's in plastic surgery. People are like, just let people do what they want. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to let you do what you want, but you built like a molar. Why your nose all the way up like this? Michael Jackson. But hey. It's their life, though. As long as you say it's their life, though, you can say anything else in front of it, and it'll make it okay. It's their life, though.
That's like when people say, no disrespect, though.
Yeah.
Just say some absolutely
no, foul I stuff. She's on baddies, and she got a tummy tuck. Someone said she was built like Johnny Bravo.
Oh.
And I was like, but that's her life, though.
Oh.
No disrespect. That's her life, though. And you know what? All the power to you, Rolly. You be pissing me off, but cool. But anyways, Dylan, this was an amazing discussion. You subverted my expectations. Not that I had any. But you really surprised me. And you know what, Dylan? The main thing was I had no idea what to name this episode. Because that's why I put a plank. I was like, I don't know what to name this episode. The light skin episode, the mixed kid episode, the sad person episode,
the man episode.
What should we name this episode?
This feels like Big Bang Theory. Have you ever watched the Big Bang Theory?
Of course.
Or kind of like Friends, where they're like the one with blank, or like the one with an episode names. I always love that. Maybe the relationships episode.
Aww. Yeah. I think I'm going to do that. Well, I guess this is sort of kind of the end of the episode now.
All
right. Oh god, I'm kind of nervous. I've never done this before. Anyways, smash that like button, hit that like button. I'll catch you in the next one in a couple months from now, because I'm not going to have access to this radio equipment.